Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Welcome back, Silver and Black Today in the stretch run on a Friday. Q and Scott are here with you. And we are going to go back out on our newsmaker line and bring in one of our favorite guys here locally. That, of course, is the Las Vegas Review-Journal's Mick Akers. And for Raider Nation across the country, the evolution of Allegiant Stadium and its construction and progress have been great interest, of course. But for those of you guys not here, and there's lots of you I know, the stream is going strong here from Raider Nation Radio. It's been hard because you're not driving by it like I am every day or folks are. And that includes you, Q, right? You're not here yet. So
no doubt.
So we've been able to follow the progress through, of course, live cams and all that. But as both a writer at the Las Vegas Review-Journal and using his social media channels to keep you all plugged in, Mick Akers now joins us. And Mick, how crazy is it that we're done with this thing, even though we can't go inside?
Yeah, that's kind of an anticlimactic ending. Obviously, all this hype has been building up over the last, like, 2.5 years, you know, since they started the construction. Watching it rise up, you know, from, you know, the 62-acre dirt lot to what it is now. And then they're like, all right, we're done, but, you know, no one can come inside yet. You know, you kind of hang outside the gates and, you know, look at it. But, you know, in its own right, you know, it's entertaining. You see a lot of people there day and night, you know, going down there and checking it out and taking pictures, you know, just kind of looking at it up close now. But, you know, it is anticlimactic, but like Mark Davis said, you know, we waited this long, we're, you know, waiting another year.
Yeah.
Mick, what is some of the exciting features that you've seen so far up close and personal?
Well, you just, you know, getting up a little bit closer to the gates now, you see, you know, the brick entry for the legacy bricks. You know, that's pretty cool seeing the Raiders emblem there right in front of the Raider image. You can kind of get a peek inside the Raider image from the outside, and looks like they have some kind of statue display going on in the middle when you walk in, so that's going to be a nice little, you know, introduction when you walk in there. Just some of the architecture, getting a little more, you know, up-close look at, you know, the black curtain wall, you know, of the glass, and then the media mesh going up around the stadium. You know, just kind of get a little bit more detail, you know, kind of appreciate what some of these, you know, trade workers did when they, you know, putting all this stuff up, you know, in a short amount of time that they did it. So kind of just gives you a little bit more up-close view and, you know, a little bit more appreciation of what the stadium is.
Again, we're talking to Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal about Allegiant Stadium. And, Mick, we know the Raiders got that initial certificate of occupancy for Allegiant Stadium, but what's left to do to polish this thing off? Again, no fans, but they want to get it all done and get the workers out of there and actually start using the facility. So what left do they have to do?
Yeah, it's a lot of the punch work. So any kind of major project, you know, road work, big building, any casino, anything like that, we'll say it's substantial completed, and then they have some things left to do that wouldn't impact, you know, the opening or, you know, holding an event or letting people come in and gamble at, say, the casino. So it's a lot of touch-up paint, some fixtures, some furniture. Obviously, the media mesh is one of the things. Getting that marquee sign right there on Dean Martin and Al Davis Way, that thing, you know, lit up and going, that's one of them. Most of the landscaping's done. I know there's a couple of things they got to do on that end, but, you know, a lot of it's inside, back of the house stuff that even, you know, the general fan's not going to see anyway.
Mick, you've been all over this thing from the very beginning, and I know I've talked to you multiple times just on the progress that's been going on, but as far as COVID-19 and how it's affected the city of Las Vegas, I mean, you go back to the draft, obviously no fans in Allegiant Stadium, bars, restaurants. How much of an economic hit has Vegas taken in 2020 due to COVID-19?
It's going to be, a large one. We're still kind of, you know, waiting it out and seeing, you know, how big it's actually going to be, but just, you know, going 78 days with casinos closed and then reopening, and now they're sitting at about 40-some-odd% occupancy rate there. So obviously, you know, people are coming, but not at, you know, the rate they were before. Tourism dollars, obviously, is big here in Las Vegas. It also goes in the room tax. A lot of people are worried about that for paying for the stadium, which, you know, they have the reserve fund anyway, so they're good on that end. But so we're going to, you know, I think toward the end of the year, beginning of next year, we're going to actually see, you know, how big of a hit it is. But I think it's going to be one of the larger ones, obviously, because, you know, casinos never shut down for that long. So it's going to be pretty substantial.
Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review Journal joins us here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Mick, back to the stadium. One of the things I know, especially for Raider fans outside of Las Vegas, has been about the parking and the tailgating. Okay, huge issue for them. And now they can't attend this year. The team has more time to kind of even refine this original plan that I know you've written a lot about. Where are we with that? And might this actually be a good thing for that piece of it, because they could even refine it more because they have more time?
Yeah, so they've always said, hey, we have this, you know, parking plan pretty well, figured out over the years. So that since they released the parking plan, they said they have about 25,000 spaces, you know, within the stadium area. So they obviously have enough. But if you look in the, they have little directories out there now from the stadium, and you can kind of see where some of those lots are going to be at. You know, they're kind of spread out all around from, you know, like Tropicana down to Valley View, and they throw in Mandalay Bay and all those properties there. So they obviously had, you know, something set up, but it does give them more time to kind of, you know, hey, we can get a little bit more, some closer spots here around the stadium. They were working with some of the businesses around the area as well, trying to set up a parking coalition type deal where they'd have a set parking plan for, you know, the businesses and help them run it, so they wouldn't have business A charging X amount and business B charging this. So it kind of, you know, prevent that from, you know, becoming an issue. But as far as the details, you know, they still haven't released the final parking plan. They have, you know, a brief one on the Allegiant website and, like I said, around the stadium. But, yeah, this does give them more time to do so. But if they, you know, they were going to have an event in the August 22nd rescheduled God's First concert, they would have been ready to handle the parking.
Talking right now with Mick Akers on the Silver and Black Today show on Raider Nation Radio 920. And how about the Modelo tailgate area? How fancy and how cool is that going to be?
Yeah, so Mark Davis was saying, hey, it's going to be, you know, on the level of Super Bowl, you know, style event area. So he mentioned they're going to have tents set up, obviously a lot of activations with their sponsors. He mentioned stages with music and such. You know, when you go out there and you look down there, it's a large space. So they're going to have, that's going to be like the main area. Obviously, Modelo, the one of the founding sponsors, they're supposed to announce what their deal is next week, you know, kind of unveiling their special edition Raiders can and such. So that's pretty cool. But they also have another lot on the other side, on the north end of the stadium, the F-150 lot, where they're also going to have some other kind of tailgating and style things going on over there. And there are some spots on the stadium side itself where people can actually park and tailgate, which, you know, a lot of people are complaining about. But, you know, any site that the Raiders run parking-wise, shuttle or walking distance, they're going to allow tailgating there. So there's not going to be, you know, anything short of options there. But, you know, some people gripe about it because they're not all going to be on the stadium site. But, you know, with the common day stadium being built in dense areas, you know, it's kind of, you know, foregone conclusion that was going to happen anyway.
Mick, what about the other areas around the stadium? So not a development perspective, but here we were before COVID. I know it was just in March, but there were plans in place. I know that, for example, go out to the M Hotel has a relationship with the Raiders closer to their practice facility. They're building out a Raider bar for next year. What about properties like Mandalay Bay and the MGM properties around there? Do we know if they're also planning and doing anything to kind of cater to Raider fans on game day?
Yeah, so obviously one of the main roads, Hacienda, they're going to close that down and, you know, have the bridge going across the stadium, the main entrance there on the north side. That was supposed to be, you know, where a lot of people, up to 20-some-odd thousand fans, were walking from the strip area to go to the stadium. So MGM was, you know, working on having some game day events, you know, at Mandalay and the Luxor right there, and also have a plan, play a part in the Hacienda bridge experience as well. But earlier this year, right when the COVID stuff started hitting, their president, Bill Hornbuckle, said, hey, we're going to hold off on that this year. That was before, you know, the no fans thing was announced. So they already were planning on this, to, you know, to kind of halt that for the year, obviously with the predicted, you know, no fans or less fans and capacity. So they do have plans there. So once, you know, fans are going to be allowed to go and everything, they're going to have, you know, nice event style, you know, going up Hacienda there. So, you know, when you're walking to the stadium, you'll have fun. When you get to the stadium outside, you'll have fun. And when you get in, obviously you get the game and get the experience of the Allegiant Stadium inside.
Outside of COVID-19 and obviously the impact it's had in 2020, is there ever a time where you just kind of take a step back and almost pinch yourself and can't believe that, hey, this professional football team is here, this amazing stadium's here, this facility's here, it's about to go down in the city of Vegas with a professional team like the Raiders?
yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, just covering it all these years and seeing everything build up and, you know, the fan base kind of build up more and more here, you know, ever since when, the, you know, the stadium progressed and the HQ was progressing. You know, they seemed like a lot of people are kind of taking to the team more. A lot of people are saying, hey, they're never going to replace the Golden Knights out here and such. But now, you know, it seems like a pretty even split. You know, you see a lot of Raider stuff going around here. But, you know, seeing everything done and, you know, just from the renderings all the years, just pushing those out and just giving updates. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see it come to fruition, you know, especially in the timeline that they always promised that a lot of people doubted. So, you know, just seeing everything come together and kind of silence a lot of those people, you know, it's pretty good.
Now, Mick, before we let you go, you did a story, of course, with Mark Davis's decision to go with no fans, which I wasn't supportive because I think it's the right thing to do. All or none is, to me, a good plan. But it has a financial impact for the Raiders and other teams who decide it. And I know Forbes had some reports about that, also some of the ticket agencies. What exactly, when we look at that decision, what could that cost the Raiders from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to be among the hardest hit, obviously, with all the PSL success and season tickets selling out there for 65,000 seats. You know, it's a brand-new stadium, so obviously there is a lot of interest, especially on the secondary market as well. They're the number one, you know, reseller there. So they estimated it at about $571 million, Ticket IQ, with a ticket broker site. So that was number one in the league. And then Forbes, I talked to the guy who generates their annual team valuation list, and he said they're going to be among the top third, you know, hardest hit, which in comparison, they did one based off last year's numbers, you know, when they're in Oakland, and they would have been dead last in the revenue loss. So obviously moving to Vegas, you know, it was a lucrative thing. He mentioned, hey, the PSL sales, 40% of them, you know, were outside of Nevada, shows that they have a national draw. And then he's like, hey, it puts them in the discussion, you know, with the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Steelers as a national brand in the NFL.
Great. Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, great friend of the show. Mick, I know, too, you grew up nearby, so, and you're a UNLV guy, so it's amazing, isn't it, to see the progression of this city as a sports city when it comes to the professional teams?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, just growing up as a kid here and, you know, being a big sports fan, following big-time, you know, basketball and football guys. So just always going to UNLV games and, you know, always checking out Summer League and getting some of those exhibition games to get a little taste of it, obviously. But then, you know, you're always in the back of your head, where, hey, I wish I had a team of my own. So, you know, some of these kids growing up here now, you know, they're not going to know how it was back then. They're going to have, you know, all these sports options out here. So, you know, definitely – You know, they're lucky kids out here. Obviously, we'll be the old guys saying, back in my day, you know how it was. So,
I was going to say,
it's pretty cool. It's a good time for Vegas, you know.
I was going to say, Mick, you're a little too young to be getting out there and saying, get off my lawn. I mean, you got to be careful with that's more my territory.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's always time. You know, give me a few more years and I'll be on the lawn there.
Well, Mick, we appreciate you. We appreciate all the job you've done covering this. And we'll have you back on the show, I'm Sue, very, very soon. Take care, my friend.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me, and congrats on the new show, guys.
All right, thank you very much. All right.